What's life like as a darn MBA and entrepreneur? Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this week's Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and down and exclaim to the people staring at you, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. We have two fascinating guests today. Both are second-year MBA students at Darden who founded their startup at the beginning of their MBA program. We'll learn more in a minute about the startup, but a little background first. Max Huck graduated from Princeton in 2013 with a bachelor's in sociology. Outside of class, he started his first, to my knowledge, startup called My Grade Zone Points and has basically been a serial entrepreneur. Sam Buchiever graduated from Cornell in 2011 with a bachelor's in applied economics and management. He worked for Allscripts for several years and then started his own company in March 2015. In October of that year, shortly after starting at Darden, Max and Sam co-founded OneDegreeApp.com. Let's learn more about life as a Darden MBA and entrepreneur directly from Max and Sam. Sam and Max, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. Now, let's start with a really basic question. What is OneDegreeApp.com?
OneDegree is an app that allows people to connect one-on-one with the celebrities, athletes, musicians, public figures, etc. We like to call influencers that influence their lives, and this doesn't exist in the marketplace today. Most influencer-fan relationships are parasocial. That means one-sided. So you have Periscope, Instagram Live, Snapchat, etc., where you really have one influencer broadcasting to the masses, and we're trying to take that one step further by allowing people to actually connect one-on-one with their favorite influencer. So a quick description of how it works. I would follow an influencer just like I would on any other platform. When an influencer I follow creates an auction of back-to-back two-minute conversations, I would get a push notification, and then I can hop into the bid portal to actually bid on that conversation. And if I win the bid, I get to have a one-on-one FaceTime with that influencer. And after the conversation, the influencer can either keep or donate the proceeds to charity. So what really makes us unique is we have a whole philanthropic component tied into our platform so that influencers can easily donate and conduct chats with their fans on behalf of their favorite charities. And then the last feature is the influencer can message the user after the conversation if they would like to continue the conversation. And this allows fans to actually go and create, you know, meaningful relationships with these influencers.
So you can, I mean, do influencers or celebrities ever like have contests, you know, win a 2-minute conversation with Adele or whatever, Tom Brady or whomever? Do they ever use it that way?
Exactly. So we're actually running as part of the South by Southwest Festival in March, what we're calling a 1 Degree South by Southwest pitch event, which is essentially a Shark Tank style pitch event. We're going to line up some premier investors. And then they'll run a short, 2-minute auction windows for companies to go and pitch them their companies. And if they like the companies, they can message them and, go and take a meeting to see if they actually want to go and invest in those companies.
Fascinating. Okay. How did you two come to found the, OneDegreeApp.com? What's the backstory? Max, do you want to start with that one?
Sam and I got to Darden, and we always had an itch for entrepreneurship. We were randomly paired as roommates. And in an effort to avoid the corporate hustle and bustle on campus, Sam and I ran across a story, just bouncing around ideas, of an individual who paid a famous rapper from Philadelphia. His name is Meek Mill. This individual paid Meek Mill $2,000 to actually take a selfie with him. And Sam and I looked at each other and we said, it's amazing how much individuals are willing to pay or how much they're willing to go out of their way to essentially access individuals that influence their life. Sam and I looked at each other and we said there's a definite market opportunity for this, and OneDegree was born.
Wow, that's some story. Okay, how's it going? Are the influencers, volunteering? You need them to volunteer, right? Are they participating in it? Are they, do they ever continue the relationship with the users after the 2-minute call is over?
It's going surprisingly very well up to this point. We've actually had influencers reach out to us just through word of mouth, having explained this to our friends, and them just having conversations with their friends as a result. We've had influencers reach out to us to actually become a part of this before we even had our app in the actual app store. We've been getting these individuals on the platform very organically, and they come from various industries, from entrepreneurship to fashion, to reality TV, to, you know, some Olympians, and it's just been a great reception thus far. Many of them are creating auctions, repeat auctions for that matter, and something that's interesting about our particular application is it's international from the onset. So Sam and I, having won some of these auctions ourselves just to essentially meet the influencers we onboarded, have been sitting in a coffee shop in LA, you know, talking to an Olympic skier in Switzerland, or a very influential model in Australia. And it's just been really cool that the power of that connection has really just blew our mind, and it's something we definitely see picking up and growing as we iterate on our actual tech and moving forward.
Wow, it's fascinating. All right, can you give an example, perhaps, of some of the more famous people that have participated? Sam, you want to take that?
Sure. So we'll give an example that occurred right in the halls of Darden, actually, which is, you know, Robbie Hayes, who was the runner-up to The Bachelorette last season. He created an auction, and, you know, we walked into the cafeteria at Darden and saw a bunch of girls bidding on this actual, on his auction, and these are, you know, very type A MBA students, and these girls were really beside themselves, like, you know, sheer unadulterated excitement, you know, to get to talk to Robbie because they watch The Bachelorette together every week. They're texting their group chat, you know, hey, I just talked to Robbie Hayes, this is amazing. And that was really cool to see that excitement, you know, amongst our peers even, you know, using and really understanding what we're trying to accomplish with One Degree.
It's fascinating. Now, are most people bidding, and here I'm talking about, the bidders, the people who want to talk to the influencers, are they doing it more for fun, for star worship, or for professional connections, all of the above? I mean, is there any usual or most or anything like that?
All of the above, like Max alluded to earlier, we have influencers across a range of industry, and that's, you know, really the beauty of One Degree is, you know, it's a platform and people can leverage it for different reasons. You know, some people might want advice, other people might want to, you know, just tell the influencer that they're a fan or so on and so forth. So it really cuts across different demographics and different industry profiles. So, you know, we've seen people use it for really all of the reasons you just mentioned.
So we've touched on, I think, the motivations of the users. What's the motivation of the celebrity or the influencer? Are they trying to raise funds for a favorite charity? Is it just fun? Is it to build their social media presence, to build their fame? I mean, what's motivating them? They obviously already are famous because they're an influencer, but.
Absolutely. It's really, again, all of the above. It really depends on the influencer, and what particular industry they're in and what type of following they have. But we've seen influencers, first and foremost, want to use this for the philanthropic component we offer. And that has really been the main driver up to this point in time. But we've also seen influencers use it just to humanize that actual fan relationship. I can remember, and Sam has a bunch of stories as well, but I can remember a story when I met Allen Iverson in the streets of Philadelphia where I grew up, and it's something I never forgot, and it's a story I still tell to this day, and just being able to, you know, say a couple words to him and vice versa, it's influenced me and impacted me in a very special way. So for individuals to be able to essentially impact a fan's life, through FaceTime, not even being in the same geographic location, is something that is very cool, and it's something that we've been seeing happening. And then, as Sam alluded to earlier, we're hosting a pitch event at South by Southwest, mm-hmm. Where these VCs will be hosting it to actually hear, companies pitch them and use it in a very very, very cool manner to actually prospect companies who are excited to have that opportunity to get in front of them and show them what they got. So really, it has utility across the board. It really depends on what type of influencer you are and how you want to market yourself. But we leave that up to the influencer.
Okay. All right. Now, did you both know you wanted to start a business, or that you wanted to start this business when you arrived at Darden, or was that something that kind of evolved?
Those answers will probably vary between the two of us. For me, I applied to business school for healthcare consulting because it aligned with my background, and I wasn't sure. It sounded, you know, like a good industry to go to. And then about a year before I entered business school, after I finished my applications, I started working on a company in my spare time with one of my friends selling North Carolina-based clothing and merchandise, and I was invigorated. I just realized that, you know, this is what I was meant to be doing. I liked working for myself, and by the time I had arrived at business school, I decided that I was going to use those 2 years to, you know, find a business that I was passionate about and go forward with pursuing that full-time after graduation. I was lucky enough to meet Max, who had similar aspirations, and we kicked around a lot of ideas before finally settling on this one. And it was one of those moments where, you know, as soon as we came up with the idea, we knew immediately there was really no discussion to be had. You know, we've been working on it ever since.
And you started as roommates, right? That's what you said earlier in the call, correct?
Yeah. Correct. When we didn't, it was randomly paired as roommates. So very, you know, serendipitous and fortunate that our apartment building stuck us together.
Sure.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, absolutely. So, Max, you were a serial entrepreneur, right? You started several businesses. So, wanted to continue down the entrepreneurial path when you arrived at Darden?
I mean, I've always had the entrepreneurial itch, and I knew I wanted to be a part of a startup at some point in time later in the future. I came to get an MBA to essentially see what the corporate world had to offer me, but as Sam kind of mentioned, we just, you know, sitting around the apartment, we really couldn't get away from it. And we had an opportunity that I thought was definitely viable and scalable, and I couldn't turn my back on it. So we went forward with it.
Great. Okay. Did you know you wanted to start a business in business school?
Yeah, I would say I don't think you, Sam or I, necessarily thought about it like that. In business school, particularly Darden, for that matter, who really focuses on the case method and the way they teach us, we hear different cases from many different companies raising across a ton of different industries. So actually hearing these type of stories in a way, I'll just speak for myself, essentially can influence an individual to want to try to create an opportunity for themselves that isn't necessarily traditional, and it just happened. I wouldn't say though I went to business school to create a startup. Sam, I guess you can shed light on that from your perspective as well.
Yeah, I came back knowing that I wanted to become an entrepreneur. So for me, it was more about skill building than saying, you know, I was going to start this once I arrived at business school. But you know, as Max said, you know, just putting two entrepreneurial-minded individuals in such close proximity, you know, that's all we talked about. You know, we'd be kicking around ideas late into the night because, you know, that's what engaged us. That's what we like to talk about. So it just sort of happened that we found an idea we liked early on in the business school process. But, it wasn't explicitly to come to start a business. And starting a business in business school is a very unique experience and one that not everyone does, so you know, we've been fortunate enough to be able to have that opportunity and be able to make it work.
And you also both wrote an article for Forbes, The Pros and Cons of Starting a Business in Business School. Can you briefly review? But tell you what, why don't you take the pros and Max, why don't you take the cons? Or you can reverse it also, but I'm just going to divide it up.
Sure. So yeah, the reason that we wrote this article is because we realized that we were having a very different experience in business school than 99% of our classmates. You know, there's so much that goes on in business school that you know, we haven't taken a part of, like, you know, such as really getting into the recruiting process, or there's a lot of you know, club events and athletic events and social events that we've foregone in favor of starting this business. So we wanted to sort of shed some light on what that experience was like for us. And I guess I'll, in the same order that the article is written, I'll hit the cons and Max can pick up on the pros. So, you know, really the cons of it are the time that's needed to work on the business. And I'll summarize this at a high level because I don't want to give away the whole article here. But, you know, MBA recruiting starts the minute you set foot on campus. That's just the way it is. It's a long process. You learn a lot. You network a lot. You make a lot of good connections. But to forego that process takes a little bit of a leap of faith to say that, you know, I'm confident at the end of the year that I'll have something or an opportunity will present itself that, you know, I can work on by foregoing this recruiting. And that's hard to do because you watch all of your classmates going through this process and bonding through this process and discussing this process with each other in all their free time. So, you know, I was lucky to have someone to go through it with. That made that a lot easier. And really, you know, the other cons are just, there's trade-offs. In business school, there's really seven things that you can be doing at any given time. Two of those include, you know, eating and sleeping. it's a lot of work. So, you know, we're constantly making the decision of, you know, how much time do we spend on the business versus preparing for class or, you know, networking or, you know, participating in all the amazing opportunities that Darden offers us. And, you know, we've had to make some tough decisions.
And Max, what do you want to add?
The pros, first and foremost, is the network. We've gotten a ton of introductions from our professors, to possible customers, investors, you name it, which we otherwise would not have gotten had we not been a part of the Darden community. Funny story, even when we were writing our business plan, as Sam mentioned, we have a lot of smart individuals at our school, that are our classmates. And we, you know, ran our business plan by, I want to say upwards 50 of them. And really just to get the validation from them, given, you know, their work experience and their perspective, from some of them, you know, not even being from the U.S., and just to get that that validation, that was something else that, you know, we would not have gotten had we not been students at Darden. And then I would say, you know, not to just give away the whole article, just having really the freedom to work on a business in a way where if you are in a corporate position, you really wouldn't be able to do so has been, you know, very helpful to us in getting the product off the ground and, you know, leaving school on the weekends to, you know, travel to LA to work with our developers and, you know, being able to take part in certain competitions that we otherwise, you know, would not be able to do so unless we were in a position to really leave our jobs, speaking if we were in a corporate position. And that is just, you know, it's been something that has definitely helped us get to where we're at, and something that I don't necessarily think would be able to happen had we not been in business school working on this particular concept.
Okay. Are you glad you started your business in business school? Do you intend to continue it full time?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're super glad we started it. We've had an absolute blast working on it. Everyone knows us as the One Degree Guys, which we're more than happy to take that name and be known by that. And this is our full-time plan upon graduation.
And conversely, are you glad you are getting an MBA? I mean, it's probably still early, but since you haven't finished it yet, but are you glad that you made that investment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. From a network perspective, you know, I've gotten the chance to meet individuals who will be lifelong friends, possible business partners in the future. I would have never met my partner Sam had it not been for Darden.
Sure.
As well as just leveraging the actual curriculum itself, mm-hmm. To really get One Degree to a point where it is investable and it does have a chance to actually scale. We've taken lessons from a lot of our actual classes and been able to apply them in a very practical sense. Whereas, you know, a lot of students typically in the MBA program don't necessarily get that opportunity. So from that perspective, it's definitely been valuable.
Great. All right, let's turn specifically to your experience at Darden. Has Darden met your expectations? Has it exceeded them? Sam, you want to take that one first, and then Max will ask you to.
Sure thing. So I came to Darden specifically because of the teaching method, the case method. I knew that that would be a better learning environment for me, and everyone said that the teachers at Darden go above and beyond. They really care about you, and it's absolutely met my expectations in every regard in that aspect. The classes are engaging. The teachers go so far out of their way to help you. You know, if you don't participate in one class, that you know they want to know why. Are you sick? Are you okay? I've gotten emails from at 4:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was thinking about your business. And yeah, I've only been to one business school, but it'd be hard to imagine a place where teachers care more about their students than they do at Darden. So it definitely met and possibly exceeded my expectations there. And really the thing that surprised me about Darden more than anything is the community that's created there. So Darden has about 335 students, give or take a handful, which is on the smaller side of most business schools. And the community at Darden is really just unbelievable, and I don't know if I was expecting that. I think I know everyone's name. Every single person in my class is at some point offered their help with our business. You know, how can I help you in any way I can? And that's something really special that has absolutely exceeded my expectations at Darden.
Max, how would you answer that question?
I would answer that question very much the same. I guess just to shed a little bit more light, Darden really, our classmates really champion each other. And it's really evident during the recruiting process, which is one of the most rigorous and I guess the most stressful time you're going to have at an MBA program. And really just to see all of us come together, and even though some of us are going for the same jobs, really just seeing everybody really want the best for everybody else was something I wasn't expecting. And it definitely has really cemented Darden in my mind as, you know, something I was lucky to be able, or a program I was lucky to be able to get into, and something that has made me a better person for it.
Okay, great. That's quite an endorsement. Now, what do each of you think could be improved at Darden?
I will give Darden a lot of credit in the sense that it really listens to its students. If you come to them with something that say, hey, we think this should be improved, they'll actually listen and, you know, work to improve it. So one of those things that, you know, Max and myself and the Entrepreneurship and Venture Capital Board brought to the school is that, hey, we want to get entrepreneurship started earlier in the MBA process. Darden prides itself on being an entrepreneurial school, and they have amazing resources, which we can get into, but we said, hey, we want to start this earlier so people can get a taste of this, so they can, you know, start kicking around ideas and, you know, maybe lower the barrier that prevents someone from working on a business, you know, as they're going through their MBA. And right now we're working on programs to start actually before the curriculum actually starts, so it's right before students officially arrive on campus, to engage them in entrepreneurial thinking and design, and get them working on businesses. So should they choose, they can hit the ground running. And that was something the administration, something that this entrepreneurial students felt could be improved, and something we brought to the administration. They said, yeah, we agree, let's do it. And so we've worked together with them to help design this program, which will hopefully launch in the next year.
Wow, impressive. Okay. Max, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't have anything to add to that. That pretty much summed it up.
Okay. Now, are you both glad that you pursued your MBA in Charlottesville, Virginia, far from the major business centers like New York City, Los Angeles, or Silicon Valley? I mean, I know that, Sam, you right now are in L.A., and you've both referenced the need to go to L.A. upon occasion. What do you think about the impact of Darden's location?
Yeah, I think it has its pros and its cons. I can I guess talk about the pros, and then Sam, you could jump into the cons. The pros of actually being in the Charlottesville community is a very tight-knit community, as opposed to NYU or Wharton for that matter, where it's in a city. It can be easy to get lost in the hustle and bustle of everything else that's going on outside or off grounds from the actual school itself. So from that perspective, Charlottesville has made us, from lack of, you know, a thousand other things to do, bond with our classmates and really get involved in what's going on within the different clubs that are offered, and the different, you know, the different activities within the community itself that really enhance the actual the business school experience from a social standpoint. So I would definitely say the perk of Charlottesville is that you will know everybody's name within your particular program, and you will, you know, have a personal rapport with pretty much all the professors here, which is not necessarily the case at, I guess, the bigger programs in cities, for that matter, of bigger cities.
The only thing I would add to that is just to really just double down on the community aspect of Charlottesville. I think Charlottesville is the fastest growing, hub for venture capital investment. It's got a vibrant startup community. You know, it's not quite Silicon Valley yet, but, you know, as a result of it being a little bit on the smaller side, you know, we've gained access to resources and individuals that we might not otherwise have gained access to. You know, when we were looking for advice on term sheets and to learn about that side of the business, you know, we were actually able to meet with, you know, the UVAC fund to learn about it because they look after their own and they're members of the community. So that's been a really rewarding part of being in Charlottesville. And it's beautiful. There's, you know, a bunch of hikes within 45 minutes.
It's gorgeous.
Breweries, wineries. It's great. It's really great.
What will you each miss from your Darden experience?
For me, it's going to be my classmates. I mean, that's made, you know, friends, made brothers and sisters that, you know, we're all going to scatter across the country. And it's weird to think that, you know, I'm not going to wake up and they're just going to be a part of my life, you know, every single day and see, you know, 30 of my closest friends every day. That's going to be tough as we all move on to our next endeavors.
Yeah, I would say the same, as well as some of our professors who we've really been able to develop very good relationships with, and really individuals that support us on so many different levels and really give us the motivation to keep on, you know, pushing even through some of the tough times throughout an MBA program. So yeah, I would definitely say both of those things.
Any favorite professors or classes?
Yeah, we can give a shout out to Sarah Savernathy. Sam, you want to give a little bio, Sarah?
Yes, Sarah is she's developed what's called Effectuation, which is a entrepreneurial paradigm, and she's been a huge champion of ours, you know, teaching us about entrepreneurship, encouraging us to, you know, pursue our venture and push the limits. And it's just great to have someone who's as renowned as she is in the field and really be a champion in our corner.
Wonderful. Okay, let's go back even a little bit further. I guess we haven't gone that far. What was the hardest part of the application process for each of you, and how did you handle it? Sam, you want to start with that one?
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me was really the essays. You know, they're all different. A lot of the questions are pretty simple. You know, tell us something about yourself that you haven't told us yet.
Right.
And you'd think that would take 15 minutes to write because you're talking about yourself. But to really, you know, define yourself in a short 500-word essay took infinitely more time than I ever would have expected. So that was hard for me to really be able to look introspectively at, you know, who I am and why I do certain things and who I want to become. And really the way that I got through those essays is I sort of interviewed my friends about who they thought I was, which really helped me figure out who I was to hear them, you know, describe me. So yeah, I would suggest that to anyone who's struggling with the essay portion of the applications.
And Max, what did you find most difficult, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, not to sound cliche, I would say the same thing. It's pretty difficult, as Sam was mentioning, to really summarize yourself in a 500-word essay. Getting really all your motivations, your accomplishments, your faults, because you know it's a good thing to also mention those. You can be very candid about who you are as a person, just to make sure the fit is right at the actual school. Just really getting that all across in a very cohesive manner. And also one that's attractive and sets you apart from other students is a very tough task. So I would definitely say I went through a ton of iterations on my particular application. It's a part of the process, and you only have to do it once.
You only want to do it once, that's for sure.
Yeah, you only want to do it once.
Yeah, well, another idea, this is a shameless plug, if any listeners are struggling with their essays, I know a lot of outstanding consultants that can help them, but you still have to, and I didn't pay Max and Sam before they got on the show. It is hard to write about yourself, to think critically, to look at yourself critically, to write about yourself candidly, at the same time, attractively. Mm-hmm. And there also is just an inherent contradiction to the application process, where on one hand, you're trying to show that you fit in to the school's community, and at the same time, you're trying to show that you're a standout, you deserve one of those precious seats. So,
and yeah, the last piece of advice I'd give on this subject is start early. This is not something that you can do the week before the applications are due, and consultants are great. They give you a really outside look, at what you're saying and how that's coming across. I use some consultants in my process and would suggest that to anyone going through the process now.
Okay, and again, I did not put them up for this. Okay, what was the most memorable question you were asked in an MBA interview?
Max, you take this one first.
You go first, ma'am.
After you.
Yeah, so for me it was, what would you do, or what are you going to do if you don't get into business school? And it was such an interesting question, because I'd been so in the zone and had primed myself to, why I want to get an MBA, why this school, why now, why I'm a fit, all these things in the pro category. And when the interviewer asked me that question, it really just sort of put me on my heels. Not that it was a particularly difficult question to answer, but I think they were really just looking to see, if I had a plan, if I had thought this out beyond, this is the only path, could I think about the issue more holistically? So hopefully I answered it well, but that one definitely caught me off guard.
How about you, Max? It's a great answer.
Yeah, this wasn't in my Darden interview, but it was another school I applied to, and they essentially asked me what was my biggest fault, and to really answer that question in a way that doesn't turn the interviewer off to a point where you're not seen as an ideal applicant was tough, but really they just wanted to basically see that you would answer a question very honestly and candidly, and you were introspective enough to understand, we're all not perfect, and we all have things we need to work on, and just to be acknowledgeable of that, I think that was what they were trying to get at. I don't have a problem talking about myself, so it didn't necessarily come across as that hard, but I was shocked that I did get that answer, and it's definitely memorable, and my interview experience from my MBA.
Yeah, I can imagine. I got my MBA a long time ago, and I still remember, this wasn't so much an interview question, it was an essay question. It was, I think it was for UCLA at the time, tell us about your strengths and weaknesses, something about strengths and weaknesses. So I was living at home, and I had no trouble discussing my strengths, and I even did have enough awareness to know my weaknesses, but I thought, I'll, you know, I I wanted to know how to approach it, basically. And so I went out and I started talking to my parents, and I said, look, I got to write this essay, and I know what I want to say about the strengths, but can we discuss weaknesses for a little, for a minute? And they kind of rubbed their hands together and said, sure, you want us to discuss your weaknesses with you? They were ready to move up and down. And again, I still remember that you know, their child was coming to them and asking what about weaknesses, which obviously I hadn't previously wanted to discuss or hear about from them.
So I
still remember that one. But yeah, those questions can trip you up. Any last tips for MBA applicants, especially for applicants considering an entrepreneurial career?
Yeah, two for me, and then Max can chime in. One, go to classes. That's the best way to understand the personality of a school, and you'll be shocked how quickly you decide whether or not you like a school after sitting in a class and understanding the style of teaching. And two, talk to people. Everyone in an MBA program has been in your exact same shoes. Reach out, contact the Entrepreneurship Club and say, hey, can you give me a list of students that I could reach out to and ask them about their experiences? Most students are going to be extremely candid for you. They're not on the payroll, so they're going to tell you very truthfully and candidly about their experience. So that would be the best way to really understand what it's like from the inside.
Okay, Max.
And yeah, I would say if your goal is to start a business while at business school, I would say do a lot of thinking before you actually get to business school why you want to do that, as opposed to just starting the company and then going to business school maybe at a later date or just foregoing it altogether. And the reason I say that is because the opportunity cost of not taking advantage of all the business school can offer, such as the companies that come on campus and the different recruiting opportunities, because really kids come here to get placed in positions they wouldn't otherwise be able to forego that to start a business, it doesn't always make sense. In our case, the shoe happened to fit, but I won't say this is necessarily going to be the case for everybody. We've definitely made a lot of sacrifices, and we still have our fingers crossed. But yeah, I would definitely say just give it a lot of thought, because the opportunities up here to actually land a corporate position, which these business schools are more so geared to help their students in doing, is great. And I think that would be my one bit of advice for an entrepreneur thinking that to get an MBA.
Okay, great. Now, before I thank you, just one last question. What do you wish I would have asked you? And that's for each of you.
Let me go first, Sam.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's one thing when people see us posting different things on our social media, and they see us in different publications, and they see us really promoting what we're doing, and they see some of the benefits that can come from doing such. But what I don't think a lot of people understand, and what Sam and I really can't lean on anybody else but each other to get through is really how hard it is to actually create a business and run it while getting your MBA. Mm-hmm. So you asked the question you asked. I don't know necessarily if I wish you would have asked this, but it would be good for individuals thinking about starting a business in business school, just really how much time they're going to have to sacrifice to do such.
Are you glad you've done it this way?
Yeah, I wouldn't take it back. It's just I don't know if everybody's necessarily built in a manner that, is built in a way where, they can do both in a way where they're not really hurting their academics, their social life, and the business by trying to really to divide themselves and not really put all their focus into one. Sam, you want to shed some light on that?
I agree wholeheartedly with everything that Max said. I think the question would have been, what is it that people don't realize about this experience of starting a business while in business school? And I think Max hit the nail on the head. It's difficult. It's emotionally challenging. Everyone knows us as the one degree guys, which is great. But, you know, when things don't go well, we're also known as the one degree guys. So, you know, it's lucky to have someone that I'm so close with, you know, both from a relationship standpoint and a proximity standpoint. We do live together, you know, that we can lean on and use as emotional support and motivation. You know, we want to do well and push each other and, you know, wish nothing but the best for one another. So it's been great to be able to do this with a partner. I don't think this would have been possible on my own.
Okay. Thank you so much. Max and Sam, thank you immensely for taking the time to join me today. I really appreciate your sharing your experience as entrepreneurs and as Darden MBAs. Where can listeners learn more about One Degree App or try it out?
The app is free to download. Check it out. Just search One Degree in the App Store. Available for iOS right now, Android coming soon, or go to www.onedegreeapp.com if you want more information. That's the numeral one, no space, the word degree, onedegreeapp.com.
Okay. We'll link to One Degree App and related podcasts and articles, including our Darden essay tips, from our show notes at accepted.com/194. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 194th episode. If you are concerned that you missed something in today's show or want to take a note or two but couldn't because you were doing something else, we've done it for you. You'll find the show notes, as I've mentioned, at accepted.com/194. Finally, if you found this show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please take a minute to share a review on iTunes. You'll find links to iTunes in the show notes. And sharing that review, taking that minute, really, really helps us out because the show will rank higher in iTunes. So, again, please do that. It really helps us out. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.